Good morning, everyone. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. And if we tried to get through the whole chapter of Hebrews chapter 6, we would be here a very long time this morning. So we're going to take one thought out of Hebrews chapter 6, and I hope it's a help to you this week. I've been running into people for the past few weeks, and one constant topic that I've been seeing is this topic of hope. And in our world today, it is very, very difficult for many people because it just seems like hope is at one of its shortest times ever. It just, you don't see people with it. And if you're here and you're a born-again believer, we have the hope through Jesus Christ. We know that we can have salvation through Him. We know that everything in our life comes through Him. And we need to share that hope with the world that's around us. I was very young, and I heard this illustration many times. I heard it in Sunday school. I heard it as preachers were preaching. I heard it in a Bible study that I was going to. I don't know who came up with this, but I wanted to read it to you. It says, how long can you survive without things? We can survive without food about 3 weeks, maybe a little longer if the conditions were right. We could survive 3 to 7 days without water, depending on conditions. For air, most people can survive 3 to 4 minutes. But with hope, it can be only moments. And our world desperately needs this hope. So what I'd like to do is look at these last few verses, verses 13 through 20 this morning. And I'd like to look at what our hope is, but hopefully to encourage you that we have that hope, that we are fighting from victory, not for victory, and that God is on the throne, and that same salvation that we have if we've accepted Jesus Christ, we need to be sharing with the world around us because it'll make an ultimate difference in their life. I'm going to read the scripture again one more time, verses 13 through 20, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to dig into the text of the message. It says in verse 13, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee.' And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do just thank you for this morning. I thank you that we get to be in your house with other believers. And Lord, as we are taking this time to open your scripture, we just pray that it be your message and not mine. Lord, I just pray that you would help these few verses that we're going to read this morning to be an encouragement to each and every person that's in this room. Lord, I pray if there's one person that's in this room or hearing over a live stream on the internet, Lord, that doesn't have that hope, that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that before we leave this place or before they get up from listening to this message, that they would accept you, Lord, that they would accept that free gift of salvation. And Lord, we know that you're faithful and just to give that to them. Lord, that they could have the hope that we have inside this room this morning. Lord, we do just love you. We do just thank you. I thank you for the service so far. And Lord, for the wonderful music that we sang. And Lord, just how it uplifted your name and prepared our hearts for worship. Lord, I just ask that if there's any sin in me or in anyone in this room, that you'd help to forgive us for that sin, Lord, that you'd hide it behind the cross and just fill us with your spirit that we could take your message from your word this morning. Lord, we do just love you and thank you for all that you do, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's nice to see Abwe. Abby pointed you out when you were coming in, so nice to see you this morning. That's my mother-in-law, Lulu's mom, that's with us this morning, so great to have her with us this morning. So we'd like to entitle the message this morning, "An Anchor of Hope." And when reading these verses in Hebrews, we see that through Jesus, we find first the reason for our hope. Now, I'd like to read you a couple verses here just real quick. It says, back up to verse 9, it says, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. If you jump down from verse 11, it says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Verse 13, we'll jump down. It says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself." And we know that if we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, that we can know for a Bible reason that we are saved. I shared my testimony. I've shared it with all of you guys. I generally share it almost every time that I preach because I think it's important. And if you're in here and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to make that decision this morning. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also tells us that God loved us in that while we were yet sinners, he sent Jesus for us. And the Bible also says that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm here to tell you this morning that the reason of our hope this morning is Jesus Christ. The reason of our hope is that we can have salvation through him. And if you're here this morning and you have not made that decision, before we take a step further in this message, I encourage you to make that decision this morning. You say, "Well, Jimmy, I'm just not sure if I'm ready to make that decision." Well, I was not sure if I was ready to make that decision many times. Like I shared earlier, I went to church many times. I was in the youth group and I was in the choir, but I knew that I was still going to hell. Why? Because I had not asked for forgiveness of my sins, and I had not asked Jesus to come into my heart and to save me. I could tell you this morning that we serve a living God, and that this man we're talking about here, Abraham, is that he found all of his hope through God, and we're going to talk a lot about his life this morning. In verse 14, it says, "Saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee." Now, if you're in this room this morning, you say, "Well, Jimmy, so I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. What's next?" Well, fortunately for us, salvation does not end there. God does not just save us and leave us be. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, if we will be willing to step out and follow him, we'll be willing to step out and serve, God is going to bless us in other aspects of our lives. Now, I can tell you this, that that's not to promise a health and wealth gospel. It's not saying that if you accept Jesus Christ that you're going to be rich, because you are not. It's not saying that if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior that everything is going to go smoothly, because I can tell you this morning that is just not the case. But what I can tell you is that God is going to go with you every step along the way, that he is going to bless you, and that he is going to care for you. Raise your hand in this room if you're here and you've worried about something in the last month. Be honest. Has anybody worried about something in the last month? Almost every hand inside the room. And I would be willing to venture out that most of us have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and yet still we get to the point where we're in the storm, where we're in the battle, and when we start fighting, sometimes we lose sight of that hope. Let me tell you, when you go into the world, you see people that are facing these same challenges that make us worry, that are going through life without that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When I look at the testimony of Abraham, thinking of how he would walk through life without God, it would have been an absolute mess. And then we apply that to ourselves and look at ourselves and say, "Listen, you know what? If we go through life without God and we go through life without turning through Christ, we're going to face those same struggles that the people around us are facing." And let me tell you, you don't want to go through it alone. Sometimes I get home and after working a long time, I'm there and we're trying to take care of Abby and trying to take care of Chloe and be a good example and point them towards Christ. And I look at all my shortcomings. I look at when my energy is weak and when my strength is weak. And sometimes I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and it can all seem to be overwhelming and it can all seem to build up. But then fortunately, we have that time where we can come to God's word, and we know that God is with us and he's walking with us and he is going to strengthen us every step along the way. So while I'll tell you that, hey, maybe you're not going to be rich by material standards and earthly standards, and maybe everything's not going to go easy, I will tell you that looking at Abraham's life this morning, that it is worth it. And there's no greater blessing that you will ever find in life but serving your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We find the reason of our hope is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came and he gave his life. He came and he took up that life again that we can serve a risen Savior, that we can have that salvation that's so free and that we never have to worry about losing or the fact that it would go away because we know it's not going to do that. We know it's always going to be there. Once you're saved, you are saved for good, and there's no man that can pluck you out of the Father's hand. Jump down to verse 18, and we're going to see about this same hope that it's based in truth. It says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, and I'm going to stop right there in verse 18. Immutable means unchanging over time, unchangeable, or unable to change. So sometimes people might look at Jimmy and say, Jimmy, you know, you're still stuck on the same things that you were back in life. If you're just standing on the Bible, we know what your stance is, and you're telling me it's not going to change. I'm telling you, yes, our stance is not going to change. If you are waiting for God's word to change, it is not going to happen. God's word is truth, and what he says is true, and he is not going to change from it, and he's not going to back off from it. Let me tell you, it's a compass, it's a guide, it's a life map, and his word is truly unchanging in our lives. That is not a bad thing, that is a great thing. It's bad when you hear something in life and you hear something that you think is true and find out it's not true. You never have to worry about that when you're looking at God's word and when you're centered on God's word. You hear when it talks about Jesus being the good shepherd, and he says, the sheep will hear my voice and know that it's my voice. And the more that we read and the more that we study, when you come and you hear God's words preached, you know when you're hearing the truth because you know God's voice, and you know that everything's going to go together because his word is based in truth. Now, let me tell you, there is some people that will come and will come after you when you decide to stand on the truth. We could walk outside and I could say the sky is blue and the sky be blue, and they want to say it's purple. Well, no, the sky's not purple. The sky is blue. We could talk about facts and people want certain truths to change. And when you're struggling with truth, it's going to lead you to a really, really bad place. Without going into example after our world chasing some things that aren't true that they want to be true, let me just save time this morning and say, get in God's word, seek the truth, and if God says stay away from something, just stay away from it. The older that I get, the more that I realize that God does not want us to have to face the consequences of sin. He doesn't want us to have to go through times where we're dealing with all of these bad things and with all of these negative things that are associated with sin. He just wants us to leave it alone because our hope is based in truth. And when our lives are based in truth, we're going to see those results play out in our life. The second thing in verse 18, it says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And I think I put, we must lay hope. It's supposed to be hold in your outline. I apologize. I saw that in the bulletin this morning. But it should say, we must lay hold on the hope that is set before us. We must lay hold on the hope that is set before us. Let me ask you, when you wake up in the morning, what is the first, you don't answer this out loud, but what's the first thought that comes to mind? A lot of times for us, it's not thinking about things of God, right? Sometimes we wake up, and if you're honest and you are sometimes pushing it, getting to work, you wake up and you are scrambling as fast as you can to get to work because you're already running late, okay? And sometimes we then begin to miss thinking about God. Sometimes we go through the day and our day is just busy and we try to carve out that time, but it doesn't happen. And God ends up getting what's left, okay? And we had all this hope, we had all this truth, and we did not lay hold upon it. We did not grab it. We did not put it in front of us. We did not center on it. And all of a sudden we get through the end of the day and we're stressed and we're looking at things of the world, and maybe we're even making not such as good decisions because we didn't take the time. I'll share with you, I've been working a little part-time job in the morning to help with insurance. And when I'm there, you actually can listen to music or the Bible, because what you're doing is just, it's kind of just systematic, and I do that before I go to my other job. So it's been nice. I've been able to listen to God's Word for about 3 hours every morning. Does anybody like to listen to the Bible? Can anybody raise your hands? Have you got your Bible app and stuff? I like doing that. It doesn't take the place of reading. You need to come to a time where you're sit down and just focused on it. But when you listen to the Word and listen to the Word and listen to the Word, all of a sudden you get to your time you're going to read, and all of a sudden it just pulls off the pages. While I was there, I've been able to listen to your services when I'm not here, so that's real nice. I've got to hear Pastor John preach. I've got to hear Psalm 16. That's a wonderful way to remember Scripture, so I hope everybody takes you with it. I've actually got that written down in my great thoughts. I'd like to write a message on Psalm 16, just because I've heard that song so many times, and I've played it off the live stream so many times. I've been telling myself, I need to get in there and dig and see, what does God have for me out of Psalm 16? But just try this. If you can in the morning, I know it's not fun to set your clock early, but try to at least listen to God's Word. If you can't get your quiet time before you go there, play it in the car, find some way that you can hear it, and see how it's going to change your day. I told Brother Ken before, I said, my week was a little stressful this week. I said the cars were a little bit rough, so the complaint hotline was off the hook. And that sometimes makes my job a little bit more stressful when I'm there. But you know what? When we can come to a place where we are feeding ourselves with God's Word and we have this hope, we realize that the bigger picture is not any of these smaller things that are in our lives today. The bigger picture is we've got a Savior who loves us. We've got a Savior who's given us the truth. We've got a Savior who wants us to live for Him, who wants us to live in the way that He would have us to live, and that we know that it's true, and we know that if we lay hold upon that hope that's set before us, it's going to change our day, and it is going to change our week. How many times do you run into somebody who's almost at the point of breaking down that when you give them the truth, you just see it make a tremendous difference in their life? That's not you. That's not me. That's what God has given us. He's given us that guide, that life map, that truth that's unchanging and that's steadfast and that's always going to be there for us. If you look at Isaiah chapter 42, 16, I got it on the screen so you don't have to turn. Isaiah 42, 16 says, "And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in the paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them." Let me tell you, that verse right there just sounds like my testimony. These verses that we're reading in Hebrews just sounds like my testimony, because we all need this hope. And here we see what Jesus does for us. He makes the blind have sight. He makes the crooked things straight. He makes darkness turn into light. And it says, "These things will I do unto them and not forsake them." You say, "Well, Jimmy, I just got really bad news and I don't know how I'm going to get through it." Well, I'll tell you, I might not know how you're going to get through it, but I know that Jesus will go through it with you. The hardest things that I've ever faced in my life, I've came to a point where I said, am I going to go through it by myself, or am I going to go through it with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? And let me tell you, He's been there every time, and He is truly a life-changing hope. We see first, this morning, we see the reason of our hope is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that if we come to a saving knowledge of Him, we know that we're saved. We know that no man can pluck us from the Father's hands. And we know that He's going to be with us everywhere that we turn. Don't raise your hand, but do you know that you're saved this morning? Do you know for a Bible reason that you are saved and that you are eternally secure this morning? If the answer is no to that question, I just strongly urge you, don't leave this place until you know that this morning. I went a lot longer in my life than what I should have without accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Don't go through a day without that hope. He is the reason of our hope. Secondly, this morning, He is the rock. Secondly, this morning, He is the rock foundation our hope is anchored in. And whenever I think of an anchor, I always think about rock. I'll tell you why, because my dad and I, when I was very young, were learning how to fish up on Conowingo, and we were not doing very well. And we looked, and one of our buddies was over there, and he was catching a lot of fish. We couldn't even get our boat to stay up in that current. We were running out of battery. We were trying to idle. We were trying to do whatever we could to get our boat to stay there. And we could not even get the boat to stay in the water enough for us to make a cast. And we're looking at each other going, what is happening? And we had a little blue anchor tied to a much small, too small rope that we were throwing over. It wasn't heavy enough to stop the boat, and it was not designed to lock into the rock. And all of a sudden, our boat would just drift down the stream. And we were sitting there, and we had three little small 12-inch fish, and we're watching him catch 3-pound and 4-pound smallmouth, and we're like, okay, we do not have an idea what is going on here. So we went, and we got to talk to him after he came in. He was very, very helpful, and he said, well, first, he goes, you need to throw that anchor away. You need to get a real anchor, and he showed us an anchor that will lock into the rock. This anchor didn't even have a lot of weight to it. It was designed to catch the rock and to hold the boat, and all of a sudden, we went out and bought one, and the next time we threw the anchor in, it hooked into that rock, and that boat was not going to move. You could try to do anything you wanted to that boat, but that boat was not going to move because the anchor was firmly connected to that rock. Let me tell you, that's what Jesus is for us. It says in verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. What are you putting your hope in this morning? You know, honestly, there's a lot of people here that put their hope in a job, maybe a family member, maybe a person. Maybe you think your hope is wrapped up in your 401k. Maybe you think your hope is in the fact that your strength is going to carry you through. Well, let me tell you, if you're putting your hope in all those things, maybe it can sustain you for a day, maybe a month, maybe a year, but there's going to come a time that your hope is going to fail you. Just like waking up and looking outside with an expectation for snow and not seeing the snow, you will get to a point in your life, except this is going to be a much bigger deal when you realize that all of a sudden our hope in those things has failed and our strength has failed. Let me tell you, what we need is not our hope in any one of those things. We need our hope in a Savior who is still on the throne, who has already won the battle. Like I said, we're fighting from victory, not for victory. And we can trust that Jesus is always going to be there. And if our hope is anchored in that rock, it is never going to move. You say, how do you deal with those phone calls when you realize you pick up the phone and you got cancer? I don't know why I was thinking about it when I shared that illustration of my friend in Sunday school. It reminded me of Nana. We went down to, my grandmother passed away a year and a half ago. And I will never forget it because we took Lulu's brother down in a car to go look at some colleges. And we were on the way up the road. And so Nana called me before. It was Saturday night. I could tell they waited as long as they could to call me before we were going to roll into church the next morning. So I was a little bit worried that it wasn't good. And she goes, Jimmy, are you somewhere I can talk to you? And I was in the front seat of the car, and we had about 3 hours or 4 hours to go on the trip. So I said, yes, I'm somewhere you can talk to me. And she said, well, I went to the doctor. I wasn't feeling good. I had been tired. And she said, I had cancer in my liver and in my lungs. And then she gave me two other places, and we got all the way down. And then she told me I had a rotator cuff, and she got all the way done. And I said, Nana, is that all? And I'll never forget her laughing. And I said, well, how are you doing? And Nana said, I'm okay. She goes, I'm okay. She goes, actually, the doctor was afraid to walk in the room and tell me everything that was wrong with me. And I ended up comforting the doctor as we were walking out of the room because guess what? Her hope was not found in her strength. When she got that phone call, her hope was not wrapped up in what her body could take or what her bank account could take or what her strength could do. Her hope, just like it was her entire life, was founded in Jesus Christ. And you saw someone's faith that was founded upon a rock that even getting probably the worst news you could possibly be dealt was just as strong as it could possibly be. And it remained there through her whole fight with cancer. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Let me tell you one thing about our Lord is that Jesus will always tell us the truth. Whether it's difficult or whether it's easy, we are always going to come to God's word and get the truth. Why? Because we serve a just God. We serve a righteous God. We serve a God who loves us right where we are, but he's not going to lie to us. He's not going to tell us anything that's not true. He is going to give us the truth and help us get through it on the hard days and be with us on the great days. It says when you jump down to verse 19 and we finish that verse, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Let me tell you about that hope, that it is sure and it is steadfast. That word sure means confident in what one thinks or knows, having no doubt. Steadfast means resolutely or unwavering. Okay, that hope is sure, and that hope is steadfast. It's kind of an interesting example to bring up to you this morning because I always remember her telling me, she said, Jimmy, if heaven could just peel back a curtain so we could get just a little glimpse, it would help so many of us live for the Lord. I ask you, what news are you dealing with this morning? What news are you struggling with? Maybe it's not your health. Maybe it's the health of a loved one. And maybe you're going to be going through a difficult time. Where is your hope? Because if it's based in something that's not Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're on a very slippery slope this morning. You need to make sure that you have that anchor. And that anchor is in the rock because our hope only comes through Jesus. You know, at the end of that verse 19, and we're not going to do a whole study on Hebrews chapter 6 because we'd be here for weeks. There's so much in it. But you see that little phrase, and which entereth into that within the veil. I got some scriptures on the bottom there you can write down, or they're in your outline if you want to read when the veil was torn in two. But my favorite part about that scripture where the veil is torn is the fact that that veil was torn from the top to the bottom. You see, we couldn't go behind that veil because we were imperfect and because we had sin in our lives. But when Jesus went to the cross and that sin was laid on his shoulders and that sin was nailed to the cross, when he had died and he rose again, right when he died, that veil was torn from the top to the bottom, meaning that we could come before God because it wasn't because of our righteousness, but it was all because of the salvation that Jesus offered us. He conquered sin, death, and hell, and he made a way for us to come to him. He made a way for that hope to come shining through. And that hope is still with us to this very day. Psalm number 18:2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. When we look at Hebrews chapter 6, we see the reason of our hope, and we see the rock foundation our hope is anchored in. Do you have hope this morning? Now, all those things that we were worried about, all those things that just seem to burden us down, that just seem to wear us out and seem to distract us from serving God, think about how important they are in the grand scheme of things when you think about your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we had one of those mornings this morning getting ready where it was a little bit tough. We had Chloe was crying and we're trying to get everybody dressed and some of those things. And some days you have mornings like that. Some days maybe it's work and work is really busy, or it's just you need to clean up the house. You need to get to the grocery store. You got a list of things to do. You've got many things. And all of a sudden your time just seems so short. And in those times, it seems like our mind looks at the short term, at all the things we have to accomplish. And we take our eyes off of that rock foundation our hope is anchored in. Listen, we're going to have difficult days. We're going to have days that are a struggle. But we need to realize our hope is fully founded in that rock foundation. And if it is, it truly is never going to move. Jesus will give you the strength to get through the hard times. And he'll be there on the mountaintop to celebrate with you and to be there with you. Now, finally, we'd like to look at the results we experience because of our hope. And what I want to do, I want to give you a quick overview of Abraham. Many of you have probably learned about Abraham in your Sunday school classes and messages that have been preached, because there's a whole lot in Genesis that's about him, but there's a whole lot that speaks about him through the rest of the Bible. And we've got a pretty full account of his life. But when you look at him, you're going to look that everything did not come very easily to him. And God had a plan to use him and his family and the lineage of the Messiah. And so what I want to do is look at his life, and then we want to look at how he patiently endured. It's really going to be centered around this verse 15. It says, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And then I'm going to bring this back together for you at the end. So let's just go ahead and dig in. Verse 15, and this is one of the verses that I underline in my Bible, and I've challenged myself to memorize this verse, but to think about this verse each and every month when I'm reading the Bible, because it's really a life verse. It says in verse 15, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. I want you to think about those words, patiently endured, for a second. If you ask me what is a great definition of your Christian walk and your Christian service for the Lord, it's patiently enduring, right? There's going to be seasons that are just great, that things are going easy, that are very joyful, and there's going to be seasons that are tough, and you're going to see many mountaintops and many valleys. But think about what Abraham did. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now, I would like to tell you first off this morning that salvation is free, fast, and final. You can write it down. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are saved. You are a born-again believer, and there's no man that's ever going to pluck you out of the Savior's hand. You can write it down. There's plenty of verses to back it up. I know you believe that here this morning, so we don't have to go through all of them, but let me just tell you, salvation is free. It is the moment you accept Jesus Christ, he saves you, and he's willing to forgive you for your sins. And it's final. You never have to worry about losing it. But let me tell you, your story with God does not end there. You know, God could say, Jimmy, I love you. I'm going to save you. You're going to be my child. And then just go over and sit there and you'll be in heaven one day. But that's not how our service for the Lord goes. That's not how Abraham's life looked when you look at it. So we're going to run through a few verses real quick. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to read them to you. You don't have to turn there. I just want to make sure you've got the background as we're going over Abraham. Because you might just get an encouragement at seeing what happened to him after he endured. And then we're going to apply it to our lives. It says in Genesis 22, verses 15 through 18, it says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, then in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, there's a lot there. Now, what you can't take from this scripture is, this is not to us. We're not to take that if we're going to follow God, that we're just going to have many descendants or many land. That's not what we're saying here. What we see is that when God made a promise to Abraham, he had a plan for Abraham's life. And we're going to see that Abraham got to see God fulfill many of these different promises that he made to them. And we see that Abraham had to step out in faith if he was going to be able to serve God in the way that God wanted him to serve him. Notice Genesis 12, 1 through 5 is listed there next. This talks about really the beginning when Abraham was going to step out. And in Genesis 12, 1 through 5, it says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Notice this is speaking of through this genealogy was going to come the Messiah. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years, and when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's sons, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now when we look at this, we see that God has promised Abraham that Abraham is going to be able to serve him, and that through this service, it will bear fruit. Now, for all of this to happen, Abraham had to take a step out in faith. That can be scary. If God's ever asked you to do something, and He's ever asked you to step out to serve Him, sometimes that makes us gasp and take a deep breath, and we look at our lives and we get really, really nervous. I know that that was me the first time I ever taught. That was me the first time I ever had to preach God's Word. Sometimes that's still me any time I've got to preach God's Word. I say, Lord, You could have called any of these other men. Why in the world would You call me? And Lord, I just don't understand it. But Lord, I'm going to step out in faith and I am going to serve You the best that I can and give You everything and leave the rest up to You that You'd get all the glory, honor, and praise. Let me tell you, Abraham left some riches, right? His family was there. They were well established. They obviously had their place they were going to live. He was on his general plan, but he was literally going to have to step into a land that he didn't know. Notice God didn't call him to go by himself. He was going with his wife, with his children. He was even bringing Lot along. And we see that God was going to have Abraham step out to serve Him and take a step out that Abraham had to trust God completely. We got to go on a little vacation to Gettysburg, and obviously my mom and my sister during the day had been teaching Abby about when Peter walked on water and when he sank, because we were Abby was on the stairs, and when she fell in the water and I picked her up, she said, Papa, I sank like Peter. Okay? We get nervous about sinking. You know what? It makes me more nervous about sinking now that we have two children. But I'll tell you what I'm more nervous about than sinking. I'm personally more nervous that if I don't step out in faith, that my children are not going to see God's fullest blessing upon our lives. And let me tell you, I've had some great examples. I've had grandparents on both sides, my mother and father-in-law, my parents, that have all stepped out in faith to serve God, and I've got to see God's blessing for them doing that. Now, maybe it's not by riches and material things and new cars, but you see, the more and more you go through life, just how God has blessed you and just how God has cared for you. And you see that it's not just that moment of salvation, but the fact that your Savior is going to be with you every step along the way. Really quick, Abraham had to trust God to make him a great nation when he did not even have a family yet. Specifically, through the wife that was going to be in the genealogy, they did not have Isaac until they were very, very old. In Genesis 12, 2 through 3 and 7, we see the promise God makes to make Abraham a great nation. Genesis 13, 14 through 17, God promises Abraham a land described. In Genesis 17, 17 through 21, that Abraham thought he was too old to have kids, and we know what happened there. Isaac actually means to laugh, because they were laughing at God when God said they would have Isaac. But what did they have to do? They had to step out in faith, or else they would have never accomplished what God had specifically for them to accomplish in their lives. I'll read you Genesis 21, 1 through 3. It says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. I love that verse in Genesis, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Sometimes it's hard waiting on God's timing. You know, Abraham might have said, Lord, if You could have just spelled this out to me, if You could have just let me see, well then, Abraham, you wouldn't have had to take a step out in faith. We see that also in Genesis 35, 12, that God promised Abraham that they'd be a great nation. It says, in the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, speaking to Jacob, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. So we see that when Abraham stepped down, we see that Abraham had that relationship with God. He had that salvation, but we see that God was able to work mightily through Abraham and was able to have Abraham serve Him. Now, real quickly this morning, what you don't take from this testimony, that's not to say, Jimmy, if I step out in faith, I'm going to get land, I'm going to get descendants, I'm going to get a nation named after me. No, 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 no. That's not what you're getting. Don't get confused. I want to give you three things really quickly that you can expect when you step out to serve God. And I hope they'll help you, and I hope it'll bring these results kind of to a nice thing we can take with us and use this week. The first thing we can take is that our salvation is secure once we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. These are bonus points you can write at the bottom of the outline. What we can take from Abraham's testimony. I'm going to read to you James 2:23. It says, "And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness." We know that our salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we believe on him. And when we call upon him to save us, that we know our salvation is secure and that it will last forever. You say, "Jimmy, are you ever worried about losing it?" Nope, because the Bible says, "No man can pluck me from the Father's hand." And we see that time and time again in the Bible. If you finish James 2:13, it says after that, "And he was called a friend of God." Okay, the second thing you're going to see that you can take from Abraham's testimony is your Savior will walk with you daily. He will be there when you get that phone call that's bad, when you get that phone call that's good, or when everything in between is going on. We see that with Abraham. He had to step out in faith. He didn't know where he was going. He was leading a family. He was leading many people. He really didn't know what he was getting into. But through his life, when you look at verse 15, it says, "And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." Now, think about the end of Abraham's life. Had he seen the Messiah come through his line yet? What's the answer? No. Right? Jesus was going to come way further down the line. He would see that fulfillment much later when he was on the other side looking from heaven. But let me tell you, God was faithful and just to fulfill that promise, even though it was after he would see it. And you see in Matthew chapter 1:1-16, the genealogy that Jesus came through a line of Abraham. And what we finally learn through that is that your service for the Lord will bear fruit. I wonder if there's one in here this morning that could say, "Jimmy, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I'm trying. I'm serving the Lord. I'm seeking him. I'm trying the best I can to live a good life. I ask him to forgive me for my sins, to help me with my sins. I'm teaching, and I want to see fruit." Man, if you're in here, that is something really real. I had a young man that I was with one day that told me, he said, "I have never seen any fruit in all my ministry." And I sat there, and I don't usually rebuke somebody or go after them, but I said, "Listen here," I said, "how many people," and I just asked the people that were around the circle we were, I said, "how many people's faith have been affected by this person?" And everyone raised their hand. I was as bold to say, "has anybody in this circle accepted Jesus Christ because of something that he had shared with them?" And there was actually two people in that circle that raised his hands that he never knew his testimony had that impact on him. Let me tell you, your service for the Lord will bear fruit. You might not know where it's coming from. You might not know where it's going to pop up. But God is faithful and just. If you will serve him, your ministry will bear fruit. And if you will serve him in the way that he's called you to serve him. I go back to just bring this to a close. I want to share with you about Nana. When she was, right before she passed away, it was my sister's wedding. And it was in March that they told us she probably had, I think it was 6 or 8 weeks or something like that to live, and we didn't think she'd make the wedding. And they thought about changing the wedding date and changing the plans, and Anna said, "don't change the date, don't change the plans." And so about 2 weeks before the wedding, hospice started to come. Or I think it might have even been 1 week. I have to go look at that time frame real close. But they were starting to come and starting to talk and set things up. And Nana got to go to that wedding in a wheelchair. And she was there for my sister's wedding. And I can't tell you this for sure, but I just think that that was part of God's blessing for her, that she got to be there to see that wedding. But then within about a week to a week and a half after that wedding, my grandmother had passed away. And my mom came over to me, and She meant the world to us. She meant the world to most everybody in our church. Our church actually called her Nana, not Gertrude, because everybody was so close to her. And Mom said, would you like to preach at her funeral? And honestly, the first thing I thought was, no, Mom, I wouldn't like to preach. But my mom said, because I know that Nana would like you to preach a message at her funeral. So I remember the night before I was getting prepared, and I never go over my message or verbally say it before I come into a room. I'll pray about it. I'll seek the Lord. But I just started trying to talk through my message because I said, there's no way I'm going to be able to get through this service without crying. I'm like, I got to be able to at least speak audibly when I'm speaking to the people. Because she was a servant of the Lord, and she was an example of what we're talking about right here. Somebody that patiently endured, that obtained the promise. And when I walked in that room, what I saw was a room full of people that were affected because she decided to step out and serve the Lord as the best way that she could. And that God was faithful and just to bless that. But what I also saw is that somebody who had patiently endured through hard things and through difficult times, let me tell you, it was not a sad service. It was a celebration of all celebrations because you knew someone went to be with the Lord. You cannot know for sure someone else's salvation, but that room knew that she was with the Lord because you could see that they had accepted that free gift of salvation. So you say, how was Abraham so sure of his salvation? Because through his whole life, he stepped out in faith. And yes, he stumbled, and yes, he fell, but he lived for God. He endured trials, he endured stumbles, but he would come to the place when he graduated to glory that he truly obtained the promise. He truly saw the result of that salvation when he saw his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when he was in the presence of God, and God was faithful and just to give that to him. It was not by anything that he earned. It was not by anything he said or did, but the fact that he believed God and he accepted that free gift of salvation. We see here real quick, if you're in this room this morning, I hope you have that hope that we all should have leaving this room. Jesus Christ is the reason for our hope. While I was a sinner and while you were a sinner, he came for us. He gave his life for us that we might be saved. He rose again on the third day, took that life back up, and we serve a risen Savior who walks day to day with us. He is the rock foundation our hope is anchored in. Our country might change its position on things. The stock market might go up and down. Your bank account might go up and down, but you can trust the fact that if your hope is found in Jesus, that he is your rock foundation, he is not going to be moved, and let me tell you, that anchor is going to hold. And the results we experience because of our hope. If you're in here and you truly have that hope, you're not going to worry what this world's going to do to you. And it's not going to make you nervous what this world will come and try to do to you. You're going to know that when you get to the end, that you're ready to meet your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you're going to see that if you're faithful to step out in service for him, to patiently endure, and to keep serving and to keep ministering to the people around you, you'll see the fruit that you will bear. There's two questions this morning. Number one, do you have that hope? Do you have that relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If not, I'm going to be up here at the front. I know the deacons, the elders are going to be in the back, and they'd be glad to talk to you and sit down and show you a Bible reason how you can know that you're saved this morning. But maybe you're here and you could honestly say, Jimmy, sometimes in the week I start to lose sight of that hope. Like Peter, sometimes I see the storm and I hear the wind and I hear the waves and my eyes go off of my Savior. Let me tell you, step out in faith and keep your eyes on him. Because when you're going through the week, he is going to be the one to carry you through. He is going to be the one that is sure and that is steadfast and that you can trust every step along the way. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do just thank you for this section of Scripture. Lord, I know we just scratched the surface. Lord, we just took one thought out of this whole chapter that just has so much for us this morning, Lord. Oh, but Lord, I pray that just this thought, Lord, just this note, just this time to focus on you, that, Lord, you are our hope. You are our sure and steady hope, Lord, that's not going to move. Lord, that's based in truth, and that, Lord, we can trust that you're going to be there. Lord, in the greatest of days, in the worst of times, we know that you're faithful and just to come through. Oh, Lord, I thank you for the service. I thank you for everyone that's been a part. I thank you for our Sunday school hour. And Lord, we just thank you that you've met with us this morning. Lord, I pray that there'd be someone in here who maybe they're going through a hard time, and maybe we just needed the reminder, Lord, that our hope is found solely in you this morning. Lord, it's nothing we do. Lord, we cannot come to you on our own. We need you. And Lord, we know that you're faithful and just to save us if we'll just accept that free gift of salvation. Oh, but Lord, I pray that the world that's around us, Lord, that needs this hope, that we wouldn't take it and hide it, Lord, that we wouldn't hide that light, but that we'd go out and we'd share it. Lord, that we'd share it from the mountaintops and we'd share it with every person that we come in contact with, Lord, because this world needs that hope. Lord, this world needs you. The answer to all these problems, to all these things that's stressing each and every one, Lord, is they just need you. Lord, I pray that as we have this invitation time, that you'll work in a mighty way. Lord, if there's one in this place that needs you, just help them to make that decision this morning and encourage them to make that decision this morning. Lord, we do love you and thank you. We thank you that we have hope in you. Lord, we thank you that we're on the winning team and that you've already won the victory. Lord, we just praise and glorify your name this morning and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.